This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Perek Chof, Mishnah Zayin. The Mishnah discusses the tumah status of the machzelis, which is a mat, usually made from reeds. So this is in the category of a wooden utensil. Whether a mat is susceptible to tumah depends on what it's used for. If it's made for sleeping, then it is mekabel tumah. But as we know, although normally in order to be susceptible to tumah, the wooden utensil has to be some kind of a container, but an exception is where it's meant to put one's weight on, it's used for resting, to lie on, to sit on, then it's susceptible to every kind of tumah, including midras. If, however, it's clear that a mat is not going to be used for resting on, well, then the presumption is that it's going to be used for roofing, as, say, for schach and a sukkah, in which case the mat will not be susceptible to tumah. The Mishnah discusses the status of a particular mat, one that was common in those times. This mat had a rectangular shape. It was mostly made of woven soft reeds, but hard reeds were also woven into the mat to strengthen the weave. These were woven across the width of the mat at intervals. If one wanted to use the mat to rest on, the hard reeds would have to be spaced apart to allow enough space for a person to lie down. A person would lie across the width of the mat. So that to be enough space for a person to lie in between the hard reeds, because the hard reeds were too uncomfortable to lie on. The Mishnah discusses the variants of the mat I just described, and the question of whether we assume it's meant for resting on, in which case it is susceptible to tumah, or whether we decide, no, this is not good for resting on, therefore it's presumed to be for a roofing material, and therefore it would not be susceptible to tumah. The Mishnah says, regarding machzelis she'asa lakonim le'orcha, a mat where the hard reeds were woven in across the length of the mat, not like the conventional way. Again, the hard reeds went across the width. Here, the hard reeds are across the length, and again, a person typically lies across the width. The Mishnah rules tahara, this mat is not susceptible to tumah, as it's not suitable for resting on. If a person rests on it the normal way, again across the width, it'll be very uncomfortable. He's going to be lying on those hard reeds. So we assume that it's meant for roofing, and again, a mat that's for roofing is not mekabel tumah. That's according to the first opinion. However, v'chachamim omrim, the chachamim said that we cannot come to that conclusion that the mat is not meant for resting on, and therefore not mekabel tumah, ad she'yasa kemin chi, unless and until the hard reeds are worked into the mat in a way that they form the shape of the Greek letter chi, which looks like the letter U. The point is that the hard reeds are woven in to the mat in such a way that it's literally impossible to lie on it without lying on the hard reeds. Whereas if the only issue is that the hard reeds go across the length of the mat, the Chum say it's not a problem. The person will just lie across the length in between the hard reeds, even though normally people lie across the width. But okay, you could use it in a different way. You could lie across the length. It's still usable as a resting mat, and therefore we do assume that it's meant for that purpose, and as such, it is mekabel tumah. The Mishnah presents a case where everybody agrees that the mat is clearly not usable for resting on. That is, if asam l'rachva, the hard reeds were woven in across the width of the mat, the normal way. However, ve'ein bein kana l'chavero arba tvachim, there isn't space between one hard reed and the next of four tvachim. So there isn't enough space to lie between the hard reeds, tahara. Well, then, for sure, such a mat is not mekabel tumah, as it's clearly not usable as something to rest on. Another feature of a typical one of these machzelis mats was that along the narrow ends, like the width and sides of the mat, they would tie the soft reeds into knots every two tvachim, so as to prevent the reeds from unraveling. The Mishnah discusses where we start off with the regular, typical machzelis, which is usable for resting on, and therefore, of course, that's going to be mekabel tumah. Then nechleka l'rachva, it's split along its width. Now, each of the halves of the mat is technically large enough to lie on, but the issue here is that along the side were separated from the other half of the mat, you don't have those reinforcing knots. That's a Rabbi Yehuda Metaher. Rabbi Yehuda ruled that each half, the mat, is not Mekabel Tumah, as it's only a matter of time until the reeds are going to unravel. The Chacham, though, disagree. The Chacham say, look, there's knots on one side, so we don't assume it's going to quickly unravel. Therefore, it's still Mekabel Tumah. The Mishnah continues, V'chein ha-matir Rashi ha-madanin. If somebody went and just untied all of the knots along the edges of the mat, tahara, well then for sure, the mat is no longer Mekabel Tumah, as in that case, it's definitely not a proper reinforced weave. It's going to unravel soon, so it loses its status of halachically. It's not Mekabel Tumah. The Mishnah says, let's say nechleka le'orcha. Let's say the mat split along its length, so that each half that remains does have a knot at either end. The Mishnah says, v'nishtayru ba shlosha madanim shoshisha tvachim. As long as each half that remains is left with at least three knots at either end, which equals six tvachim, because the knots are spaced away by two tvachim. If you have six tvachim of remaining width of each half, tmeya, then each half continues to be mekabel tumah, since the width of each half again is six tvachim. And as we said, a person lies across the width of the mat. So the Mishnah is saying that as long as there is six tvachim of length to lie on, you know, between the hard reeds, it's still considered usable as a mat to rest on, and therefore is mekabel tumah. Now, surely the length of six tvachim is not enough for one to extend his entire body on the mat, but it's enough for his torso, and it's normal to use the mat in that way, just to rest the torso on the mat, the rest of the body off the mat. Therefore, this is considered is still a usable mat for resting, and so it's mekabel tumah. The Mishnah now addresses machzelis me'emasai mekabelis tumah. When a mat is being manufactured, at what point is it considered a halachically complete mat, a halachically that's mekabel tumah? The Mishnah says, mishatinakev, once the reeds are sticking out are trimmed, so that the surface is now suitable for sleeping on, and at that point could be mekabel tumah v'hi gemar melachta. The trimming is considered the completion of the mat's manufacture, even if the owner, let's say, intends to add a decorative rim. But since once the surface is trimmed, it's smooth enough to rest one's body on, one is able to use the mat for its intended purpose, it is halachically considered a completed kli, and therefore is already at that point mekabel tumah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.